Hello and welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 20, recorded on the 26th of July, 2013, the Metropolitan Division. In this show, we talk about the divisional realignment in the NHL and the goofy names they came up with. And with 1 month in the books, we examine the CFL season so far. It's all coming up next. And here we are recording a new episode of the Sports Fathers. It is July the 26th. I'm Father Daryl Millett in Watson, Saskatchewan. Joining me in Watson is Father Jeffrey Young. Hello, Father Jeff.
Hello, Father Daryl.
How's it going?
Good.
So you're all moved into the sprawling metropolis of what's it called again?
St. Front and Greater St. Frontian area. We call it in the diocese, the deanery, the Metropolitan Deanery.
Very good. That sounds very exciting.
Yes, it'll make sense later.
Excellent. And then also joining us is Father Travis Mierheim from Prince Albert. Hello, Father Travis.
Good evening, guys.
Do you wish you were at World Youth Day?
I very much wish I was at World Youth Day. Although I guess since I'm here, we get to record a Sports Fathers.
If you were in Brazil for World Youth Day, you would not be recording a Sports Fathers. Is that what you were saying?
Good point. The Way of the Cross, actually, I think is finishing right about now. And so, or has finished actually probably already. And so therefore, it's a good time for Sports Fathers.
Exactly. Just praying with the Pope and then going and talking about CFL football.
It's a good transition, yeah.
Perfect. Now, of course, there are the World Youth Day is on right now in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And what were the numbers did you see what the numbers were for the Way of the Cross today?
Not for the Way of the Cross. I heard about the opening liturgy on the beach was like 750,000 or something.
Yeah, like almost getting to the point of what Toronto was for the final mass in 2002. It's pretty impressive numbers.
They're figuring, I think I heard 2 million by the time the Saturday night Sunday rolls around.
Wow.
For the end of it. That's what that's what the predictions are.
That's incredible numbers.
Yeah, they got a lot more people to draw from down there as well. But it's excellent, you know, the Pope being close back to his homeland again, and it's got to draw a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
Father Jeff and I are just looking at each other, kind of like, who's going to talk next?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why don't we talk about sports then? That might get us talking a little bit more freely than in talking about, I don't know, faith or something?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on here? This is weird. So the NHL just released their new division alignments. Very exciting. They've been wanting to redo the alignments for a little while now, especially since Winnipeg re-entered the league, because Winnipeg was in the Southeast Division, same division as Tampa Bay and Florida, and that just didn't seem to work out so well. So they've realigned the league, and so there are two conferences, and in each conference there are two divisions. Now check out these awesome names. In the Western Conference, you have the Pacific Division. Makes sense. There's a bunch of teams along the Pacific. And in the Central Division, the other division is the Central Division, which, you know, looking at it, a lot of these teams are more east-ish, like Chicago, but St. Louis. But yeah, you got the Pacific and the Central. That seems normal enough. I don't think there's a heck of a lot of character to those names, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Eastern Conference. You got the Atlantic Division, which with some Atlantic teams like Buffalo and Detroit and Montreal and Ottawa and Toronto.
Right there on the coast. Right?
Yeah, right along
the Maritimes of Ontario.
Yeah. Right along the Atlantic coast
Atlantic
or something.
Atlantic Canada. Yeah.
And then you've got the Metropolitan Division.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hence my reference earlier. But yes, great booming metropolises like Columbus, Ohio, and Carolina, which I believe is a state. But
and well, I mean, Toronto can be a metropolitan area then, apparently, because if you have a whole bunch of people living in that state,
Well, well, that's why I belong to the greater metropolitan Saint-Fran area, which is a population of a million people about.
But isn't like Montreal an archdiocese and Ottawa an archdiocese and Toronto an archdiocese? Like, aren't these metropolitan sees?
Yeah, but no one takes them seriously.
Oh, okay. A couple of them have cardinals.
Yeah. Who doesn't have a cardinal? They were
just voting for Pope not too long ago. Yeah, I find these names to be at best somewhat amusing. At worst, I'm like, what on earth were they thinking?
It was like they had to deliberately go out of their way to not pick like a traditional name. They could have done I wish they would have just went back to the Smythe and the Campbell and all the old conferences, but
yeah.
Then they were talking, well, they maybe use, to make it more modern, they might use like Gretzky and Howe, which...
Well, fine, frankly, then do it.
Yeah. Anyone born in the last 10 years, I mean, you know, doesn't know who that is anyways. But anyways, then do that. But this is the worst possible choice. That's what all the leagues do, basically. But the NHL was special. We used to have some traditions. And I don't think you should change the awards because some people don't know who Conn Smythe is. You educate your people. Traditions matter, especially in faith, but also in hockey.
Yes. Very true.
Very true.
But at least do the divisions and conferences, do they make sense where the cities are?
No.
At least, you know.
Ignoring the names, you mean?
Ignoring the names, you know, where they're grouped and how close they are.
Well. Yeah, last time I checked, Tampa Bay and Toronto are not exactly on the coast with each other.
Good point.
The Atlantic Division just seems like
it's like whoever composite. Was left over.
Yeah, it seems like a leftover division.
Yeah. I mean, Detroit's probably glad to be in the East again, but I mean, Chicago is not exactly West.
Like, I don't know why they just didn't add in that Northeast division they used to have. Take Boston and New York out, and they could add it Detroit and Buffalo, for example, would have made a lot of sense. Chicago, and make that little a central division like that. And then the Midwest division, you could add, the Midwest is closer, could have put in the Tampa, Florida silly teams into that scenario. There's sure, a lot of sure. options that would have been better. Anyways, I would have did it 100 times better. That's all I know.
Yeah. I mean, the Pacific division makes perfect sense to me. That one, I think they nailed, but yeah. There's probably not much different you could have done anyway with that.
Well, yeah, it's basically every single team in the... In yeah, those two times.
Except it would have been nice if Winnipeg was there, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's nice that
I mean, Winnipeg is a ways away, mind you, but it's, you know, when you had Winnipeg against Edmonton or Calgary more often.
Well, they'll play more now, right, in the conference system.
True. Like, they didn't play at all this last season because of the... There was no interconference play this last season.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are the new division alignments and the new names, which I think are brutal, but anyway.
Even saying metropolitan, it just like sounds bad. It's like, these are the good cities.
Unless you're thinking of an archbishop or something, I don't know.
But it's so stupid because it's not like they gave those names for the other divisions. It's just random out of nowhere. It's like leftover division. Like,
yeah. Because Los Angeles isn't, like, you know, big enough to be its own metropolitan area or something.
Like, if they're going to get all, like, folksy about stuff, they should have, instead of the Atlantic Division, they should have called the Mason-Dixon Line or Division, the Confederate Division, and the Union Division. And up north, they could have had the Upper and Lower Canada Division or something like that. It's so bizarre. I reckon they might have been drinking some mint juleps by the time they got down to that fourth division, but I don't know.
They what started they do naming now. Them late on a Friday night, and by 11:30, yeah. What's the best we got left?
Yeah,
I don't know, guys. Metropolitan. These are some big cities.
Exactly.
But these are some big cities, brothers. Metropolitan sounds right. Yeah, sure. That's good. We're done.
Spent too much time celebrating the fact that they struck the deal to get into the Olympics, that they couldn't come up with good names or decent alignments.
Who knows? Who knows?
Because that deal was struck roughly around this time that all of this was announced with the schedule.
Oh, okay.
That, the NHLers are going to be playing in Sochi, Russia. Ooh. Did I pronounce that right?
Sure.
Yeah. So we're going to be seeing the NHLers back in the Olympics.
Sochi.
Nice. Yes. That'll be good.
That's exciting. So who do you think? I mean, we're way far away. We don't even have teams outside of, I think Sweden announced there's some of the team.
Oh, really?
But what are your predictions? Who's going to win this bad boy?
You know, one of the things that is, I think, really cool about international hockey at that level is that there's actually a lot of parity now over what there used to be. Like, like on the women's side, you're still going to have, I think, the U.S. and Canada vying for it. But on the men's side, obviously, I'm going to be cheering for Canada. I'm not convinced that the goaltending is as good as it had been the previous years. So I'm not entirely sure.
Who do you think is going to be the goalie? Like, give me two or three names.
Price, I think, has a good shot. Yeah. A lot of it depends on how they do. If Luongo has a decent start to this season, I could see them going back to him because he's been there before.
Yeah.
And won it, more importantly.
Yeah. I don't think Luongo, unless he's going to.
It depends on the start of the season.
Yeah, he's a little bit in La La Land right now. I don't know if it'd be good to go with him, but we never know. Maybe that kind of competition will bring out the best on him. He's got something to prove. But
Chicago's goalie's a Canadian, isn't he, Crawford?
I believe Crawford's not Canadian, because if he was, he would be mentioned on these lists.
I thought he was mentioned on a list.
Fact check.
Oh, if only I had some sort of internet communications device to look this stuff up, or if I had the wherewithal to look stuff up before we started talking.
We'll send our producer, Bugsy, to go look into it. Yes, boss.
Send my dog to go and take a look.
Anything you need, boss.
He's from Quebec. He's a Canadian.
So why is he not being talked about?
He is.
I haven't heard him on any of all this predictor TSN. They're always, Luongo. Luongo's.
I saw him on TSN, but anyway.
Luongo is, as the old folks say, old hat. I would say that. Move on. The younger generation.
Get a new hat.
Get a new hat, like Crawford. Or Tim Thomas. We'll give him Canadian citizenship, and he's welcome to stay. Yes. Once they find him out in the backwoods of Colorado.
What do you think, Father Travis?
I've got no comment or input. Thank you.
Excellent. This is moving along beautifully.
Devin Dubnyk.
Yeah, perfect.
He might not have even been taken as number one of Edmonton.
How about we talk about a sport that is actually being played?
Cricket.
At this point in time. That... we know something about.
I think we should.
In other words, we're done. Have a great evening, everyone.
Aussie rules football.
That was on TSN a while ago.
Canadian football, maybe?
Canadian football. The Canadian Football League. The really cool game of Canadian football, where the field is longer and wider, where the ball is larger, where the goalposts are at the front of the end zone, because it's great to see guys running into it. There are 12 players a side. There's lots of motion before the snap. Three downs. Did I cover most of the differences there?
$6 beer.
$6 beer. $6.50 at Taylor
what is it
Field.
Now? Yeah, I was going to ask you just there, Father Darrell.
Yeah. No, I blew $13 on beer the last game I was at.
Big yeah, spend. Very bad beer. Poor beer, I should say.
Molson Canadian. Not worth $6.50, but it was there.
The problem with the CFL is that, especially with all three of us, is that we're kind of biased.
No, we can try to talk objectively.
So what I was... Well, I'm not going to talk objectively, but good job, you guys.
Yeah.
What I was wondering then is, do we want to go team by team, or do we want to right now just talk about... who we think's going to be in the playoffs and who we think's going to be in the Grey Cup? And
how about we go team by team? Because that'll probably cover all of that.
Sure, let's do that first.
And why don't we start at the far east of the country and head on west?
The Halifax Moose people.
Exactly. No, Montreal, the Montreal Alouettes. So this is a team that has been dominant the last number of seasons. Basically, since they moved to Montreal, they've always been in contention. Generally, very, very good. And then their coach, Mark Trestman, went down to the Chicago Bears of the NFL. We'll see how he does down there.
Da Bears.
And this season, they're brand new coaches. Hawkins, I think, is the one of them.
Da Hawkins.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the coaching that's that issue or if the players are just getting older than they had been, which happens.
Actually, everybody gets older, technically, Father.
Yeah. But is what is the biggest reason for why they're not doing so well this year? Because they last week they were up 24-0 in the first quarter against Calgary in Calgary. Calgary came back, which is the largest ever comeback from a first quarter deficit. Mm. And they just been playing really inconsistent, especially the offense.
I'm going to take a stab at it. I'm going to say it's the uniforms. They need to change the uniforms.
Same uniforms they've had for a while,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, the colors just aren't working this year. Yeah. I don't know, Father Travis, what do you think? What's wrong with Montreal? The town, the team.
We only have
20
minutes. Not the birds, but the
team. Yeah, we only have 20. To me, it's, I always like to blame the quarterback, to blame Calvillo. And I think he might be part of the problem. But it's definitely the receiving core. Like they're not doing anything. There's no connection there. It's like they didn't study any game plans or anything.
Well, it seemed to me that the play calling itself was quite different than it had been in the past, because Montreal's bread and butter were like the quick 8-yard passes. Mm. You know, Calvillo would drop back 2 or 3 steps, throw an 8-yard pass, and then they might do a running play and get a first down, and then he'd do another 3-yard drop, throw a 7-yard pass. Like a lot of the really short ones. And it seems to me that this season they've been shooting for the moon a lot more often. And yeah. They're just not connecting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going on what like analysts, TSN and stuff they're talking about, but they were saying they have a new offensive coordinator and coach, and they have Calvillo, who is sort of running the show for years. And he's kind of a guy that I don't know if he calls plays on the field, but he definitely has a lot of input on the style of the game. And then you get a new kind of system coming in. The guy from the NFL wants to do his thing, and Calvillo wants to do his thing. And they're in like a tug of war. And, you know, to be honest, Calvillo is going to win. He's the guy that's won them championships. But I think eventually that's what's going on. They change their style of play, right? Basically, if you're Montreal and you're offensive coordinator, develop plays and just let Calvillo call what he wants as he sees it on the field. I think after that many years and you're the number one quarterback in football history, as far as I think you get
as far as yards thrown for sure.
Should get a few little perks, don't you think? It's like the Pope. He can kind of do whatever he wants.
But apparently
Calvillo's the Pope of the CFL.
What I've also heard is that Calvillo doesn't want to call his own plays. He wants to have the coach do it. I guess that's the way he's always done it.
Yeah, but he wants his plays, though. He wants like his style of play, and I'm thinking that there must be some sort of tension. But who knows? Maybe just a new person and they're adjusting. But
yeah,
they did win last night, right? So
they did. Well, they beat Edmonton. They beat Edmonton by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, that was actually a pretty entertaining finish there. It was probably one of the few close finishes we've had so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we'll get to talking about Edmonton and how there need to be consequences there, apparently. But yeah, it was
City of Champions, more like City like of that. Losers.
Nice.
I've been waiting 40 years.
You can send emails to continuing in the Eastern Conference or Eastern Division or whatever they're called in the CFL. You figure I would know that kind of thing. CFL East.
Le Tiger Cats de MLN.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats. There's also the Toronto Argonauts of Toronto.
Like those guys.
Well, you know, they did win the Grey Cup last year. They were, came in with a lot of expectations because of that.
Yeah.
And actually were playing pretty decent football from what I was seeing. And then Ricky Ray and Chad Kackert got hurt last week.
Mm.
And I mean, those two guys are linchpins on that offense. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming weeks. Apparently, Ricky Ray may not be as bad as they thought initially. It's his knee.
Yeah.
And he had a knee injury before, a few years ago. But they're thinking, you know, the fact that he walked off the field after being injured is a much better sign. Kackert, from what I understand, is a worse injury. And, I mean, he's been a pretty dominating running back for them, so.
Hmm. Oh, Travis. I was going to make another joke, but I thought it might be offensive. Go ahead. I'll bring it
Most
up
Most of your jokes are.
Depends how, yeah. Well, geez, you got to keep people interested, right? What do you got?
And so, exactly, without those two for the Argonauts, they're nothing. And so if those two are fine going into the playoffs, I think they'll make a good run of it. But
yeah, and given the teams that are in that East, I think they'll make the playoffs anyway.
Oh, they'll make the playoffs, yeah. I mean, it's actually weird. Montreal could end up missing. That'd be really bizarre. That's a stat that I would like to see. Last time the Alouettes missed the playoffs.
Boy.
Good point.
I don't know if they've ever, at least not...
Since they came over from Baltimore.
Balta who? There was a team in Baltimore?
Baltimore Stallions became the Montreal Alouettes in, what, 96?
Were they in the Metropolitan Division?
Like, yeah, it was something like that.
How is that the Canadian Football
it was,
League?
It was the U.S. division of the Canadian Football League.
Yeah. Las Vegas Posse and all that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Baltimore No-Names.
Yeah.
Who's second string to Ricky Ray? Because
Ricky Ray's toupee. That's what my joke was going to be. Was that's how he got injured? He had a botched hair transplant surgery there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Offensive is fine.
Offensive? People follicular challenged. How do you say that, Bo?
I don't know. Ask Father Daryl.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's funny because he's balded.
I'm looking up who the second string quarterback is on Toronto. I'm not listening to you, jokers.
He has the exact amount more balding per annum as he has for per annum years as a priest. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, so I do.
We're going to be, after 5 or 6 years of priesthood, we'll be at his pace and it'll just keep proceeding.
That's true.
Hey, Jean-Luc Picard was pretty bald and he was awesome. Therefore, that's how I'm going to be, right?
Trying to think who is the greatest bald people ever. Socrates. There was an ugly and bald man, but still very smart.
All right. I'm not sure what their depth chart is on the quarterbacks, but they've got for quarterbacks on their roster, Trevor Harris.
His dad was the premier.
Josh Portis is on the injured list.
Okay. See, they're relying so much on Ricky Ray, but I mean, good guy to rely on, but
just like Edmonton did, and then they traded him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So funny.
Careful, people rely on
Zach Collaros.
Cholera?
Yeah, something like that.
I hope.
It's from Cincinnati. Hope he
doesn't catch.
That's terrible.
So should we move on to Hamilton then? Speaking of jokes, I was at that game on Thursdays or last Sunday. So
yeah, how was that game for you, being there live and seeing the Cats thrash?
Well, it's one of those games where if you're just watching as a football fan, you'd probably be pretty bored. But if you're watching as a Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan, let's just say my voice was pretty sore the next day. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. The only thing shocking about that game is that Father Daryl only had two beers. it was like it wasn't actually an entertaining game. It was I missed the first quarter.
And that was like paint drying because that was total field position battle, no scoring.
And that's what it sounded like. And then after that, I mean, I was visiting families or whatever watching the game, but it was, it was fun. It's fun winning, but it wasn't exactly an entertaining game. But one thing that was ticking me off was why they kept Durant in that late into the game. Like there was not a chance in a snowball's a donut's chance in a police station that is going to survive.
Well, did you see the interview with Chamberlain though? He referred to last season when they did lose in the fourth quarter after being up by like 22 points or something.
Against who?
Montreal. It was like Calgary or something.
Calgary or Montreal. Yeah. Not Hamilton. Hamilton. Yeah.
I have to say, being at the game, I know that there's a lot of questions about what kind of reception Kent Austin would get coming back to Regina. Yeah. So Kent Austin, of course, being the quarterback when the Rough Riders won in 1989, and then being the coach when they won this Grey Cup in 2007. Yeah. He went away to the United States for a few years and to college football, and then came back just now to coach the Hamilton Tiger Cats and to GM them,
yeah,
if that's a verb. And the the reception, I have to say, I don't know if a whole lot of people even really noticed him. Maybe at the beginning, but as soon as Henry Burris started playing, everyone gets on Henry Burris.
Yeah.
No one's forgiven Henry Burris for dumping the Riders back in 2005.
Yeah, right, they shouldn't. It seems like Hamilton has just taken all the leftover deadbeats that we... Oh, sorry, yeah. Did I say that? I meant former Riders that...
Like I say, they're the New York Rangers of the 1990s in the CFL. Yeah. Because except the Rangers used to be a bunch of Edmonton players.
Yeah, except for the Rangers won.
They did win once, yes.
Yes. Now, that Hamilton has not won once.
This is true.
And it's in Hamilton. It's not exactly the New York.
It's in
New
Guelph. York
of Canada. Yeah.
It's in Guelph. Yeah,
that's true. It's Guelph. Actually, I think that's a good move. I like when they go to the little college arenas, and it's a better atmosphere to
well, except the one game they didn't sell out, even though it only seats like 12,000 people. Mm. Mind you, it was raining. It was like torrential downpours. So, but still.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, so Hamilton, on paper, though, they look to be poised to do pretty good. Last year, they had the CFL's best offense. They just had very poor defense.
Yeah.
And then, well, last week, they got 0 points against Saskatchewan. So, I don't know.
Yeah, they're sitting 1-3 right now. So,
one thing I do like that they're doing is the new arena is going to be named Tim Hortons Stadium or something like that. That's pretty neat.
Really?
Yeah. That was very impressive to me.
They do have a lot of injuries. Fantuz is out, and he's a big thing for them. Stella was out last week. Apparently, he will be back in this week, tomorrow.
Stella!
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, when you got Canadians injured, that kind of...
Fantuz is injured?
Yeah, he's been injured for a little while. He's
pretty injury-prone, isn't he? Like,
he wasn't when he was a Saskatchewan, but...
Yeah, he was, remember? He was out for like almost a whole season.
Well, yeah, he was in the States trying the NFL.
He was injured also when he was going here
to
with
the,
us.
Going to the NFL is a new injury.
Yeah. I guess one way you want to look at it, he was kind of injured, yeah.
Probably making more money on the practice roster.
All I remember is he didn't do much for us lately. That's what I said. Yeah.
That's okay. There's always Henry Burris to boo on that team.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about the next team we have to talk about. But
well, hey, remember last year how the Rough Riders beat them 52-0 at Labor Day? This is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, of course.
Oh, that was a good day.
Another boring game, mind you, if you're a football fan. But boy, it's fun when your team is the one who's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But so the game they played tonight, actually, against Calgary. And it was an interesting game because it was two quarterbacks starting who had never started a CFL game before. So Justin Gaultz on the Blue Bombers, Buck Pierce is out. Apparently he possibly could have played, but they didn't want to risk him getting more injured. And on Calgary, it was Bo Levi Mitchell, a third stringer. And Gaultz, he gave a good effort, but I mean, they didn't do all that well. They lost, what was it, like 37-24?
Yeah. Now, here's a question. Is Buck Pierce's actual name?
I think it is. Oh. I've never heard anything different for him.
And is Bo's actual name?
They were actually talking about that today. It is Bo, and his middle name is Levi. And I guess down where he was playing football in Texas or whatever, they would always call him
Bovine.
Bo Levi.
Oh, down in Texas, I would have called him Bovine.
Oh, dear.
Especially if he was playing at Bovine University.
When I grow up, I'm going to Bovine University. That deserves a golf clap. Yeah. Okay, maybe it doesn't. So now, the one strength about Winnipeg the last number of seasons has been their defense. I mean, their offense has been pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But the defense has been their strong point. You think of like Swaggerville or whatever the heck they called that a couple years ago.
Don't bring that into
But still, I mean, they were known for having a decent defense. But I mean, when today, for example, when the third stringer for Calgary lights you up for 37 points. I don't know if that's quite the case anymore. No.
Who's their coach right now?
Their coach is
Tim Burke.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, Tim Burke is the coach, replacing Paul Appelese, who was let go last year and is now doing a decent gig on TSN. as an analyst.
Coach's Corner or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Coach's Playbook. I guess they couldn't call it Coach's Corner. That's kind of copyright.
Why is it called Coach's Corner, actually? It's not in the corner. It's on a desk.
It's the same letter. It's alliteration. It's cool.
What about Coach's...
Oh,
Coach's Coven.
Coaches, the questions we ask.
Cubbyhole. Coach's Clipboard.
Hey, that's a good one.
That is a good one. I don't know. But anyway, so Winnipeg, they're still looking for their first ever win in their brand new stadium, which I have to say, the stadium on TV looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Brand new stadium. But yeah, they still haven't won a game. I don't even think they've come close to winning a game in that stadium yet.
It's only a model.
It's only a model. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I almost feel for the fans. Almost. there's quite a rivalry, of course, between Saskatchewan and Winnipeg in the CFL. So I almost feel for their fans, almost.
No comment.
Yeah, we don't really care.
Well, should we move into the team that is the best in the league right now, and I'm sure come the end of November will also be the best in the league?
Green is the color. Football is the game.
So Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the
undefeated Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Yeah. Winnipeg Jets, yeah. Undefeated Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Undefeated. Let that sink in for a little while.
Yeah, and in the first four games, so they've got with the running back, Corey Sheets, has the most ever yards in the first four games of anyone ever in the history of the CFL. Darian Durant has not thrown an interception yet.
Fumble either. Or is there a fumble yet?
I'm not sure if they've lost a fumble. Sheets did fumble it on...
Yeah.
It popped right back into his hands, though.
Yeah.
On magic. Sunday. Yeah. No, that's just good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so they've had a few breaks like that, you know, fumble it and it comes right back to you. But you know what? Good teams make their own luck, right?
Yeah.
And they're playing very good football, very disciplined football, fewest penalties. The defense is lighting it up. Craig Butler and Ray Williams are amazing. Butler had an incredible interception, diving interception catch on Sunday. Ray Williams, who had been let go by the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the offseason, he had a whale of a game on Sunday against Hamilton. And he took every opportunity he could to let the sidelines of Hamilton know that they made a mistake letting him go. But I think, you know what? I think the key of this Saskatchewan Rough Riders team has been the offensive line.
Oh yeah. That's definitely the big difference from last year. Time they're giving Durant.
The time they're giving Durant. And it's Sheets. It's been the help for Sheets. It was, you know, watching that offensive line when Sheets would get the ball. I remember one run, Sheets ran for 11 yards first down, and Xavier Fulton pushed his guy up 9 yards.
Yeah.
And even G-Roy Simon, you know, watching him play, he only made a couple catches that game. The receiver in the CFL with the most yards caught ever in the history of the league. And his blocking actually was really impressive. Like, you don't really see that on TV. You don't necessarily see the receivers blocking, but Getzlaff, he could block. He's blocking guys twice his size.
And that's a good point, because you didn't necessarily see Simon or you didn't see Dressler or Getzlaff too much, but part of it was because they had such strong first few games that, and that's why you saw Bag with a couple beautiful
fast
catches.
Yeah. Bag is fast.
Yeah, it was good having him back.
McHenry did get a shoulder injury. I didn't see it happen. I saw him down and he had to be helped off. Yeah. And he's on the 9-game list.
He's an alumni of my good old Holy Cross High School in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Yeah.
So, I mean, McHenry, I don't know what if he separated a shoulder or something there, but anyway. Yeah. So that's not so good, but.
He's part of the Canadian Air Force.
But that team really is coming together well. When Dan Clark, offensive lineman Dan Clark, caught his touchdown pass where he was wide open, the coolest part about that play, besides the fact it was an O lineman catching a touchdown pass, was just the rest of the team just ran to him. Like it was like his total team celebration that he had caught his, you know, his first ever touchdown. So when you see something like that, you kind of see the team gelling in a way.
What was his name?
Dan Clark.
Dan who? Yeah, that was a good reference there. Political reference. Joe who? Okay.
Jeez, oh, Prime Minister of Canada in 1979. Yes. I was two. You weren't even alive.
Yes. I'm just making something, something out of something. Something out of nothing. Almost godlike.
Well, you could. How about we move to a different team and you could try that out? So Edmonton.
Is there anyone left? Oh, jeez. Oh.
So did you see the Edmonton Eskimos? Did you see the news conference from Cavis Reed, head coach, a couple weeks ago after
Edmonton
had lost at home to BC 17-3, major downpour, lots of rain, of course, but still 3 points at home is all they got.
Yeah.
And Cavis Reed and the press conference, he didn't look happy. And that's putting it very mildly.
It's because he's about to lose a job.
I don't know how many times he said in the first 20 seconds of the conference, there have to be consequences. There have to be consequences.
Yeah.
Have to be consequences. So they let the punter go.
The punter?
I'm like, what? He's like the most used guy on the team. What are you doing?
They should trade Ricky Ray. Oh, wait, they already did that when they were winning.
Now, Mike Riley, you know, he had two games in a row where they were playing in torrential downpour, which probably isn't the fairest way to like break in a new quarterback.
Except for the other team has to play in.
Except the other team did pretty good, but the other teams were relying on the running game though, and Edmonton really wasn't.
What were the old linemen holding umbrellas on the one side?
I have no idea. I mean, Hugh Charles is a decent running back. I don't know why they weren't using him more.
Who?
Another former Rough Rider.
Hugh? Who?
Hugh Charles. Hugh? But, you know, in Montreal, though, with a minute to go, Riley drove down the length of the field all the way down to the 1 yard line for a possible winning touchdown. And then they messed up their play calling at the end, burned like 20 seconds on a play.
Oh, really?
And tried a shotgun handoff to go in from the 1 yard line.
That was last night?
That was last night. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was an exciting finish. It was a close finish, but boy, oh boy. It wasn't, they just didn't finish it.
Yeah.
So Riley had flashes of greatness. And I think if they stick with him, they got a good chance.
Yeah.
They took him out of the game for a little bit. It looked like it was more just to let him see the game from the sidelines, which remember a few years ago, they did that with Durant and it actually helped him out quite a bit.
Yeah.
And in this game, it did too, because when he came back into the game, he was much better. Just, you know, having a chance to sit out for a few series.
So who's the guy behind him?
All these questions.
Like, why don't you ever do some research, Jeff? Kerry Joseph came in for a bit.
Jimmy the water boy. The head cheerleader for the Eskimos. She came in for a few plays. Just to give a different perspective for Riley on the sidelines. See what she's doing? Do that and better.
Jonathan Crompton came in. Ooh, I think he threw a couple interceptions.
That's a good name.
Riley also did throw an interception or two.
Just got to find somebody with the name Bovine.
Now, you know, to be fair to Edmonton, well, as fair as I can be objectively to Edmonton.
Be fair to Edmonton.
I'm trying to be objective here.
Trying to be silly.
Yeah, exactly. But Matt Nichols, I think, probably would have been their starting quarterback, but he got injured again. So,
right.
And he's actually pretty good. But
shape of Catholic theology, Nichols, right? Yeah, good chap.
Oh, we went through this last season. Edit.
Father Travis, anything you want to say about Edmonton?
Great I hope seminary. They lose horribly. Yeah. That's about all.
Nice new seminary.
I'm glad it's 700 kilometers away. That's I'm just joking about that, Edmonton. But no one listens from Edmonton, right?
We're hoping not. Edmonton's the bottom. They will be for the season. And
you think they're going to stay worse than Winnipeg?
Yes.
I think Edmonton's got a chance to win more games than Winnipeg.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I think Edmonton will have less because of conference. It's harder. I think Winnipeg will squeak out a few in the bad East.
That's true. You'll play Hamilton more often.
Yeah.
My question, Father Daryl, is why you think Edmonton is farther east than Calgary?
Because he's wrong.
Because you were going east to west?
I'm just Yeah. I'm messing up. That's why.
No, I'm just bugging you. It probably. But
doesn't Edmonton feel more east than Calgary, even though it's not?
I thought Calgary. Yeah. Well, Calgary's closer to the mountains. That's what messed me up.
Yeah, that's that's I was gonna make the point is that the mountains go northwest.
All right, so let's talk about Calgary then. Now I gotta admit, with Calgary, what amazes me about them is the fact that today they started their third string quarterback and still managed to rack up 37 points. Granted, against Winnipeg, but still.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, it's not surprising in the CFL, like with quarterbacks. And, you know, there's not a lot of difference between a number one and number three, except for the fact that number one gets to play. Because remember, Durant was a number three at one point. We just had to lose by injuries one, two, or more the
first
guys
start,
and
though,
give them a chance.
The first start, though, tends to be a bit, usually a bit shaky. Like, it's not too often you get a guy like a Lule who can come in and start awesome.
Like
Durant, I mean, the first few times he started wasn't terribly great. He was okay, but...
No, he actually took a few starts to get going. He's only just now settling in.
well, besides making the Grey Cup 2 years in a row. But anyway, throwing for 5,000 yards.
Settling in so he can win it this year, though.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Amen. But anyway, but still, with Calgary, I mean, they've built a good team. They're pretty undisciplined. Not as bad as Edmonton.
How many penalties did they get against us? That was like crazy. Like
yeah, against the Riders, they got a lot of penalties. Edmonton last night in their game, in the last couple minutes, had like 30 yards worth of penalties, which couldn't have made their coach happy. But I mean, Calgary, their defense is okay. You know, Keon Raymond and some of those guys. Nick Lewis. He's one of those guys I'd love to have on our team for the Rioters.
Oh, heck yeah.
I mean, it's just not fair watching him because he'll get the ball and he's actually pretty quick, but yet he weighs like 500 pounds or whatever it is. He'll just plow through guys.
It's probably pretty close to 500. Yeah, maybe
like
480.
220 or something, but yeah. But I mean, he'll either hurdle a guy, which is amazing when you're that big, or he'll plow right through them. Which I suspect would hurt.
Yeah, he's like an NFL.
He's a chunky monkey. Yeah.
But I think Calgary has a solid chance at getting number two in the West.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And the other team that'll vie for number two in the West would be BC. Assuming, of course, Saskatchewan can keep up the pace.
But well, of course we will. And
we're going to go 16-0.
And then you still have two games left.
Yeah. Well, then we're going to go 16-2.
The thing that BC has going for them is the first name of their quarterback. I mean, it's a golden name.
Travis.
His first name's Travis?
Yeah.
Oh, all these years.
Travis Lule?
I've been calling him Frodo.
Oh, yeah. How is Virginia Tech going to do this year?
Which league? Men's college basketball, women's college basketball, or college football?
College football.
Getting the latest standings for college football.
The
season hasn't started yet.
Yeah,
Carol,
well, that's
here's
not
the
what
current
we,
lineup geez. For college football, though.
Oh, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
You asked the question.
No, she just, ruined it.
And so are we going to just do quick predictions and call her a night?
Yeah, let's do that. So, Father Travis, what are your predictions for the standings in the West of the CFL?
Okay, so you're talking first through fourth, or what?
Yes.
I'm going to go Saskatchewan, D.C., Calgary, Edmonton.
Okay. And in the East?
I'm going to go.
I'm just going to go.
Don't go yet. We're not done.
Goodbye.
I'm going to go Toronto, Hamilton, Winnipeg, Edmonton.
So Montreal's not making the playoffs at all? What? Oh,
which way did I double up here?
You put Edmonton twice.
Oops.
Oh, there's going to crossover.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, I don't think there's going to be a crossover. Okay, let's try Hamilton. No, Toronto, Hamilton, Montreal, Winnipeg.
Ottawa.
No, put Ottawa before Winnipeg.
Moncton.
All right, Father Jeff.
Yeah, in the West, it will be. I'm not predicting it, just will be. Saskatchewan, Calgary, BC, Edmonton. And in the East, Montreal.
Okay.
Toronto.
And then the last two is like a
Winnipeg.
Wash. Okay.
Hamilton.
Okay, so you think Montreal's actually going to come back?
Montreal always comes back, and they're going to beat us in the Great Cup in Saskatchewan. Because that's what they're born to do.
That's gross.
They're like the Uruk-hai, born for one reason only, to destroy the race of Ryderville.
Oh.
You know, I think if the Riders are playing in the Grey Cup in Regina, they're not losing.
Yeah. If they can get past that
first, if they can get past the first, two. Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's, I think, you know, and the Riders, I think, have a good shot at finishing first. I'll say they're first in the West. Which means, of course, they only have to win one game to get to the Grey Cup.
You're putting a lot of easy weezies out there in the fate of Ryder. We've had worse. All they have to do is in our life, and they fall apart. But
hey, Calgary could be strong. How they did it in 2010, though, right?
Yeah,
they finished first, and then
that's true. This is
one
true.
Game, and then off to Edmonton to lose. So they're going to finish first. I think BC. Is assuming Lule can stay healthy, they'll be second. Calgary, you know, they do have some injuries in the quarterbacking, and I don't know how bad they are, you know, how likely they are to get re-injured. But I think Bo Levi Mitchell starting against a Western team is a totally different thing than him starting against Winnipeg. So I'm gonna say Saskatchewan, BC, Calgary, and then Edmonton.
Yeah, it sucks to be Edmonton
because I just don't. At least the way they're playing right now, I just don't see them doing a whole lot.
Yeah.
And then in the East, I'm going to say Toronto first, assuming Ricky Ray can come back healthy. So I'm making an assumption there. That's a prediction.
With or without hair.
He wears a helmet. It doesn't matter.
It's a two quarterback advantage when he got
the ball. He wears a helmet, so it doesn't really matter. I guess Drew Tate, but you know, he's got the hair.
It matters to him. I think it's breaking his confidence. But anyways, that's another segment.
I'll go Toronto, Montreal, Hamilton, Winnipeg. And the Hamilton Winnipeg is like a toss up.
Yeah, I don't know which
yeah, that's for sure.
But
depends how many healthy former Riders are in their lineup. Depends.
Well, if Fantuz can come back for Hamilton, that I think will change them. Yeah. Because they rely a lot on him. But I do not see Edmonton crossing over.
No?
No.
What if they each only win like one game?
Well, then they don't cross over.
Edmonton wins two. And Edmonton wins two.
Well, this could be.
And then takes the East and then plays us in Regina for the Grey Cup.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So for a crossover, Edmonton has to beat the Hamilton and Winnipeg.
Yes.
I don't see it.
Maybe it could be like a classic battle in the old world where when they defeat Hamilton, they get to subsume their quarterback and they can get Ricky Ray back and then they keep playing and taking Calvillo and stuff and build up a better team. Maybe that could happen.
I don't know.
That's why David and Goliath fought.
They could trade for Burris.
Trade.
I mean, Tillman's over at Hamilton. He trades their quarterbacks.
Well, yeah. That's why he's piecing together the Riders again.
Well, he's not GMing. He's like consulting or something.
Kind of like Bugsy here on the show. That's right, boss.
Okay, so thanks a lot, you guys.
Try to cut Bugsy out, and I quit.
So Major League Baseball had some stories going on. There was like some other drug bust or something, and Toronto's not doing so good. They won tonight by a touchdown, but they're not doing so good.
There's no touchdowns in baseball.
They won like 12-6 or something.
Oh, okay.
Two field goals. Oh, we didn't talk about Rene Paradis.
That's two more than Hamilton got last week.
Rene Paradis in the CFL for the Calgary Stampeders just broke Paul McCallum's record for the most field goals in a row.
Oh, really?
He's up to 34 now. The record was 30. But here's the controversy. Last week against Montreal, his 30th field goal in a row was blocked. But according to league rules, it was blocked behind the line of scrimmage, therefore did not count as a missed field goal.
Oh, that's not stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just weird. So Paul McCallum's record just fell today because Paredes didn't miss a field goal kick, but his kick was blocked behind the line of scrimmage. So
the record is made attempts, but if you get a block, it's not an actual attempt.
Basically, yes. That's what they call it.
Okay, fine. But
yeah, that makes sense, actually.
I don't know. I think it's kind of... I don't know. I mean, field goal kicking is always a bit of a team thing, right? Your holder's got to do right. You know, your snapper's got to snap the ball correctly. Your O-line has to, like, stop some guy from running through and blocking it.
Yeah.
And that broke down.
You know, it'd be interesting to hear what Paul McCallum thinks. He is the expert on missed field goals.
He didn't like it.
Ooh.
2004, coming back again. He missed a field goal to win it, to put Saskatchewan into the Grey Cup.
Lest we forget.
But now Paul McCallum, I did see a feature with him, you know, an interview with him. He's not happy about it, understandably. But I have to say, he did show a lot of class with it. You know, he congratulated Paredes for this record, and even though he doesn't like the rule, he was very classy about congratulating him.
Classy.
All right, so with that in mind, we'd love to hear your feedback. Go over to thesportsfathers.com, drop us a note in the show notes, or go to Twitter. We're at sportsfathers, facebook.com/thesportsfathers.
What about fax?
You can send a fax to Father Jeffrey's fax line.
Yeah. It's a box. P.O. box something something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just call the guy that lives next to the box, actually. He'll drop it off for me. Big church.
And with that, keep fit and have fun.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. God bless. See you later. Next time. Write in, please. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.